Shall we commence our service this morning with the singing of the Psalm 121, "I to the hills lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made." Psalm 121, we'll stand as we sing. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face and for his blessing upon us this morning as we meet together. Our gracious God and loving eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence this morning in the peerless and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our God, for this wonderful privilege of meeting together in thy house among thy people. And Lord, hearing the songs of Zion and entering into praise of thy most holy name. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast called us to worship. Thou hast called us to draw aside from the mundane things of life. From things, O God, that we legitimately are involved in the days of the week. And in this, the Lord's day, to come aside to worship and to praise and to honor thy name. To hear thy precious word. And we pray that the word of God today will come with blessing to our hearts, that we will go away refreshed, that we'll go away challenged, that we'll go away knowing that God has met with us and God has visited his people. We pray, O God, that thou wilt undertake for us this morning, that we may be conscious that God is here, and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. See the cloud already bending, waits to drop the grateful shower. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. Lord, revive the hearts of all. Pray for a gracious breath of revival to come to your church. How much we need it. How much the preacher needs it. How much the people need it. How much the church worldwide needs it. And we pray that, O God, it will begin in our hearts this morning. Remember thy servant who labors here. We thank thee for him and his ministry of thy word. That thou wilt bless him and his wife here in this corner of thy vineyard. That thou wilt use them mightily for thy glory. Remember him there in Carrigari today as he preaches thy word this morning and this afternoon. As he comes back again here to Armagh this evening. That thou wilt bless him mightily. That thou wilt use him as thy servant, as thy instrument in thy hand to the salvation of souls. Move across our land in every sister congregation. We thank thee for tokens for good that thou hast shown, even in recent times, of hearing of ones and twos that have come to Christ. But what are these among so many? And why we don't despise this day of small things. We pray for greater things. We pray for mightier things. We pray, O God, for the floods on the thirsty land. And, O God, that Thou will come and bless us and use us in these days. Bless our ministers, our students, and all who labor in our pulpits, even over this holiday period, that Thou wilt use them. Remember our vacant pulpits, that men sent from God will be called to these pulpits. And, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt soon fill them in days to come. Remember, O God, the needs of those who are sick. Pray for healing for those in the congregation who are laid aside, hospital at home, for those who are aged and infirmed and cannot no longer frequent the house of God, that Thou wilt bless them today. For those who have sorrow in their hearts and in their families, we pray for comfort and grace in the midst of sorrow, that they may know the peace and the presence of God. Remember our missionaries too, right across the world, in every land where Thou hast placed them, those home missionaries too, that Thou wilt bless all of these. Remember too the Reverend Hamilton out there in America who's lost his dear wife. We pray for comfort even today for our brother following the funeral service and the burial of his wife. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt remember him and remember his daughters. Remember the wider family circle too, that Thou wilt give grace and help. And the church there in Allentown may know Thy presence too as their minister is absent from them. May they know the help and the strengthening of God there in the work too. Answer prayer and be with us now and presence Thyself in this service. And Lord, may Thy alone be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning to the hymn book again, number 620 in the hymn book, and we'll stand as we worship the Lord together. Number 620, and it will be on the screen as well. Let's sing this hymn unto the Lord this morning. 620, Church of God, beloved and chosen Church of Christ, for whom He died. Claim Thy gifts and praise Thy giver. Ye are washed and sanctified. Sanctified by God the Father, and by Jesus Christ His Son, and by God the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, three in one. 620, and we'll stand after the introduction and worship the Lord together.
Thank you for your patience and help with the musicians as well, getting there in the end. We're turning to God's Word this morning, reading from the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 37, 37th chapter of Ezekiel, and reading together from the opening verse. Ezekiel chapter 37, and reading from the verse number 1. Let us hear God's Word this morning. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews, and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. And it was good to see the boys and girls in the service this morning. We don't want you to feel left out, boys and girls. And I'm sure in recent times you've been out watching the bands or maybe at some of the parades and enjoying the time over the holiday period there. And you know, boys and girls, there's a verse in Scripture that talks about banners. In fact, there are several verses, but one in particular I'm thinking about this morning. In the name of the Lord, we will lift up our banners. And you know, boys and girls, when you look at the banners that are in parade during this season of the year, you will see many scripture texts. You will see, of course, historical scenes as well, going back into in our history, and all of those things. But boys and girls, you will see often a Bible verse that will be there, and how important it is to think about the relevance of our history and what the Bible has to say. In the name of our God, we will lift up our banners. Lifting up the banner of God's Word. And boys and girls, that's what you hear when you come to church. You hear God's Word. When you come to Sunday school, you hear God's Word. In the name of God, we lift up the banner of God's truth. And boys and girls, God's word is truth. It's truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you know, boys and girls, this morning, there's a bloodstained banner. It's the banner of the cross. And beyond any banner that you'd see at the 12th of July or any other time, you will see the banner of God's truth in God's Word. The banner of the cross where Jesus died for boys and girls and for men and women and for all of us who will put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, boys and girls, when you see on the 12th of July or other times, 13th of July or other times when there are parades, you will see banners. But remember God's banner. Remember God's truth. Remember God's word. And remember, most of all, the banner of the cross and come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Our brother will come and give the necessary announcements, please. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody, and we'd like to welcome you to our morning service. If you are visiting with us, we are listening in online, we give you a warm welcome in the Saviour's name. We give a special welcome to our preacher, the Reverend Alan Smiley, former minister of the Ballygowan Church and now retired from the pastorate. Reverend Smiley is one of the current chaplains at McGabry Prison, and he took the service there this morning. Please pray for the Lord's blessing on the prison ministry. And we'd also like to welcome Mrs. Smiley to her service this morning as well. Tonight at 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting in the Church of Hall. 6:30, the evening service, and Rev McMillan will be back to preach at the evening service. Wednesday at 8 o'clock, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. Rev McMillan will be taking that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the 23rd of July, 11:30, morning service, 6:30, the gospel service. There's a half hour of prayer before both meetings, and the preacher at both services will be the Reverend McMillan. Holiday Bible Club, there's a list in the porch of all the activities for the Holiday Bible Club to be held in the church next month, and we want to encourage as many people as possible to get involved and help with the different activities. Please take a look at the list and put your name down beside whatever activity you're happy to help out with. The Whitfield College is recommencing the Christian Workers Training Academy on the 12th of October in the Tandagee Free Presbyterian Church. It will cost £100 for 14 lectures. The course is designed to help you in the service of the Lord. There are cards in the porch with more details, and the application form is on the back of the card. The offering taking last Lord's Day evening at the District Orange Service for the Lord Enniskillen Memorial Fund came to £822.60, and we want to thank all those who give generously to that special offering. The Lough Erne Convention commences on the Lord's Day, the 30th of July. The preachers this year are the Reverend John Armstrong, Dr. John Douglas, and Dr. Stephen Pollock. Our sister Abigail Finlay is going to Romania next month with one of Philip Harton's Serve mission teams. They will be helping to take the girls from Deborah House on a holiday. There will be a coffee evening fundraiser in the Daisy Lane coffee shop in Auchnacloy this Thursday night, the 20th of July, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. to help with the cost of the trip. If you can, please give your support to the fundraiser. As a congregation, we would like to sympathise with Mr. Billy Hill and Iris Hill and the family on the death of their brother-in-law, Mr. Gerald King. Gerald was the husband of Iris's late sister, Pearl, and was in his 94th year. The funeral service is this afternoon at 3 p.m. in the Lisnadill Parish Church. And as a church family, we extend to Iris and Billy and all the family our deepest sympathy and assure them of our prayerful support. We pray that you will know much of the Lord's presence and comfort at this time. That's all the announcements. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for the words of welcome. It's a joy to be back here in Armagh. It's not that terribly long since I was here with you, just prior to Christmas, I think. But we trust the Lord will bless us again this morning as we bring God's word, and appreciate your prayers for the prison ministry. Now that Reverend Morrow has stepped aside from that ministry, I'm in there. I was supposed to be retired, but I'm not sure if I am retired now. Trying to get a definition of retirement. I think it's reassignment, but there you are. That's how it is in the Free Presbyterian Church. But we're in there on Thursdays, mostly on a Thursday all day, and then also each Lord's Day morning preaching the Word of God. We're there this morning at 9 o'clock, and then hailed up the road here to Armagh. So Newton Abbey this evening. So I'm all over the place at the minute, preaching the word. When I'm not preaching, I do worship in our Tyndale Church there in Donegal Avenue under the Reverend Nelson. We live in Lisburn, so it's quite near for us to go there, and we enjoy the ministry there when I'm able to be there, which isn't too often. But we trust that you'll remember us in prayer and all who are engaged in the ministry of God's Word right across our denomination. Remember our college, of course, you will have heard that we've got planning permission for our new site at Tandragee, and that's all go at the minute. I'm involved in that as well, to some degree. So we trust that you'll remember the work of God right across the board. 640 is the hymn, and we trust we'll have no trouble this time. But we trust the Lord will bless these words to our hearts. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us. Fit thy church to meet this hour. We'll stand after the introduction and sing together. Let us bow together in prayer as we consider God's word this morning, that our hearts will be opened to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the Bible reading in the 37th chapter of the book of the prophecy of Ezekiel. And the subject today is the great need for revival. The great need for revival. We cannot look at the state of our hearts in the light of God's Word and not recognize the need for revival. Personally, I need revival. And if we're all honest before God, we have to make this admission today. We cannot look at the state of the Church of Christ and not recognize that the church desperately needs revival. And surely we cry with the psalmist in Psalm 85 and verse 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that we thy people may rejoice in thee?" With the hymn writer, we would say, "Quicken the smoldering embers now by thine almighty breath." And surely our cry is also with the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 3 of his prophecy in verse 2. "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." We need divine intervention. We need the Lord to come and to visit His people. May the Lord come and visit us today. With the prophet, we would say, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." Vance Havner said, "Revival is God rending the heavens and coming down upon His people." With the psalmist, we would cry, Psalm 63 and verse 1, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." We need to look for divine intervention. But we need to look also at the divine instruction. You see, God's Word instructs us about the need for revival. And also it instructs us about the nature of revival, what revival is. These are things we need to understand from Scripture. And the Spirit of God would lead us into such truth even today. And when we come to this wonderful chapter, the 37th chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel, we see a picture of the Church of Jesus Christ as it is now and also as it can become through God's mighty intervention in the midst. Our prayer is that as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, that God would come and revive His church with life and power. We stand in need of this presently and urgently. We cannot bring this about by the energy of the flesh. It must come by the sovereign act of God. It must come supernaturally. And our prayer is, let it come. O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. Lord, revive the hearts of all. May God come to our hearts. May God visit His church. May God visit this preacher. And may the message of God's Word reach our hearts today. And so we come to this subject and to this passage. The need for revival is the subject here in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel in the first 10 verses. I want you to see in the first verses here, verses 1 and 2, the condition of these bones. And here we are brought face to face with death. Verse 1 says, the valley which was full of bones. And the Spirit here brought Ezekiel the prophet in a vision to this valley filled with many bleached bones scattered on the ground. The skeletons of corpses long ago decomposed and devoured by carrion, eating birds and animals. And so death was everywhere. And the stench of death was in this valley. And the corruption of death was evident. And these people were once alive, but now they're dead. They were once active, but now they're totally inactive because they're dead. And could it not be said of the church today, as it was said of the church at Sardis, long ago, in Revelation 3:1, I know thy works, that thou hast an aim that thou livest and art dead. Once we were full of vitality. Once we were filled with life. Once we had power. But now we're dead. And the deadness is everywhere apparent. It was a scene of great distress, which must have caused the prophet to be filled with much disquiet. He must have felt totally deflated and downcast in his spirit as he viewed this valley full of bones. The enemy of death, my friends, has come within the church and has manifested itself in our midst. And where there was once life, and where there was once life-giving power, there is now death. The energy has gone from the church. The energizing power has gone from the church. The enthusiasm that was once demonstrated within is by and large no longer there. The church is dead. Such a scene does not fill us with joy this morning, but rather it fills us with sorrow. We are brought to see death here, but we are brought also to see dearth. These bones were scorched and shriveled. All the moisture was removed. All the marrow and fatness had gone. There was a scene of dearth. Lo, they were very dry, the Scripture says. And again, we have a picture of our own hearts today and of the church of Christ in general. The Bible speaks of that dry and thirsty land where no water is. Think of ground where there hasn't been rain. Well, we've had plenty in recent days. But I suppose a lot of weeks ago, they were crying out, where's the rain? We're crying out for it. But there is dry and thirsty land spiritually. No growth, no increase, no fruitfulness. And if we're honest before God today, we must recognize that this is how it is with us this morning. But the Lord promises in His Word, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Isaiah 44:3. In the days of Elijah the prophet, there had not been dew nor rain for 3.5 years. The judgment of God was upon the land. The Bible tells us that in 1 Kings 17. Serious dearth everywhere it was evident. How long is it since there has been dew and rain in the midst of this church? I suggest to you it's a long time. And we are in desperate need of it today. We're in desperate need of the dew of heaven, of the showers upon the mown grass, of the floods upon the thirsty land, the windows of heaven to be opened, and the blessing to be poured out upon us. And this is what happened in answer to the prayers of Elijah. 1 Kings 18 we read. There was a sound of abundance of rain. There was a great rain upon the land. May there be a great rain in the church today, in our congregations across this land, among God's believing people. Not only today, but in subsequent days. The condition of these bones. That's the first thing. I want you to notice the second thing here. The challenge in regard to these bones. Verse 3 of the passage. Son of man, can these bones live? What a challenge. Is it possible that these dead, dry bones could live? Is it possible that the church of Christ that is dead and dry could live, could be raised up an exceeding great army? We will respond this morning by saying, is anything too hard for the Lord? We will respond this morning by saying, with God all things are possible. The God who called Lazarus from death to life can cause his church to live and be raised up, to be a mighty, a powerful, effective witness for God once again. How can it happen? It happens through God, my friend. It happens through the mighty power of God. For God is the author of revival. Revival, my friends, is the sovereign act of God. God is in control. I have been in recent days reading again of the story of the Lewis Awakening. That island in the Outer Hebrides where God came in the late 1940s and 1950s. He had come, of course, in previous times as well. And they experienced at that time seasons of refreshing. But at that particular time, prior to it, the stream of vital Christianity appeared to be running low. And the view was shared by the presbytery there. And they, in the following declaration, publicly expressed their deep concern. They said, and I quote the presbytery of Lewis, having taken into consideration the low state of vital religion within their own bounds and throughout the land generally, call upon their faithful people in all of their congregations to take a serious view of the present dispensation of divine displeasure manifested. Not only in the chaotic conditions of international politics and domestic economics and morality, but also especially in the lack of spiritual power from gospel ordinances. And to realize that these days plainly indicate that the Most High has a controversy with the nation. You know, those words could be written in 2023. Could be written in 2023. They're so appropriate for our times, aren't they? What was true then is true today and in every generation. The question is, can these bones live? We say, but God, this morning. But God. God is able, He is willing to do for us great and mighty things that we have not yet known. Oh, some people are so pessimistic about the church. And they say, of course, they're being realistic. And of course, we have to have realism. But we are also oftentimes so unbelieving. For if we believe all things are possible from God, then we believe all things are possible to him that believeth. John 14, verses 13 and 14. Listen to these words. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. This is the Lord here. In my name. That will I give you, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything. Anything. In my name, in the name of Jesus. Our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will do it. I will do it. And prayer is that powerful weapon whereby these bones can live. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And what took place in Lewis in revival was an answer to the fervent prayers of the faithful people of God. The weekly prayer meeting was still a vital part of its religious life,
although in many cases attended only by a faithful few. But the Most High did not despise the day of small things, and Lewis was soon to see the mighty power of God let loose in a gracious outpouring of the Spirit. And it came, as it is written, as dew upon the tender herb, diffusing fragrance round, as showers that usher in the spring and cheer the thirsty ground. Jonathan Edwards, that great revivalist, he said this, and I quote him this morning, "When God is about to do a great work, he pours out a spirit of supplication." Let me repeat that this morning. When God is about to do a great work, he pours out a spirit of supplication. Men and women, young people this morning, we need to give ourselves to prayer. There can be no shortcuts. We can have all the activities that are possible to have in the life of the church, and that is good. And I am not casting them down in any way. But without prayer, these bones cannot live. Prayerlessness is the scourge of the church today. The reason why the church is dead, why there's so much dearth, is because the prayer meeting is the most neglected meeting in the church. I remember it happened years ago, not just yesterday, in one of our churches. And a man came along, believer in the church. He looked up. He says, "What's that room up there?" And he pointed up to the room. It was the prayer room. He'd never been in it. He didn't know what its function was. He'd never been in it. A believer. Never been in the prayer meeting. Oh, my friend, when God saved me as a lad of 11, that's the first place I went to. The prayer meeting. First place I went to. The prayer meeting. It's the place you need to be. God is the author of revival, and he has ordained the means whereby revival will come, and it's by prayer. And to Lewis, there was a praying people. May we have a praying people in our midst, both in the public place and in the private place. And I know it's not always possible for whole families to be out at prayer meetings, but there should be that representation where there's young children. Maybe one of the parents can come and rotate it week by week so that there's representation of families in the prayer meeting. How important that is. Can these bones live? Purity is the second thing. We must, in our hearts, be in a right relationship with God. And the Psalm 24 is the psalm I commend to you. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor hath sworn deceitfully, he, listen to it, shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. May God lead us to purity of heart. For if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Psalm 66, verse 18. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Spurgeon said, "The pure in heart shall see God. All others are blind bats. The pure in heart shall see God." Oh, for that purity of heart. Let all that is of sin be removed, that the Lord might come and visit his people. That hearts may be dealt with, that sin might be confessed to God, that the Spirit of God may be poured out upon his people. Oh, may this happen to us today. Prayer, purity, can these bones live? Power, that's the third thing. Power is required. We need power, the power of the Holy Spirit, my friend, within his church, enabling and empowering, equipping his church. The Lord says in John 15, 5, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Power in the Christian life demands our communication with the source of power. Our communication with the source of power. Our communication with God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The power of the Spirit of God. Manifestation of His power, demonstrating the reality of the divine operation. When men were forced to say, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes, going back to Lewis. It was therefore not surprising. Such was the prayer that in the month of December 1949, God visited the parish of Barvas with revival blessing. And in a very short time, throughout the bounds of that parish and beyond its boundaries, spiritual life came, refreshing all over the island. My friends, God can do it again. God can do it again. He can work in our hearts again. He can visit His church again. He can move again. The third thing this morning is the command to these bones. Verse 4. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Here's the power of the word of God. The preaching of the word of God is a vital ingredient in any true revival of religion. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is quick. That means it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Too often God's people are lifeless. They need to need the life-giving power that comes through the proclamation of the Word. The Word of God, as it is preached, will impact upon the hearts of men and women and young people. Hear God's Word today, my friend. Hear God's message from heaven to your heart. Think of the power of the Word of God. As Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. And Peter preached the Word of God there in Acts chapter 2. And what preaching that was, and what power there was. Without the preaching of the Word of God, there will be no genuine revival of true religion. Oh, you may have emotionalism. You may have excitement. But you will not have genuine revival. Think of the power of the Word of God and the preaching of Jonathan Edwards in New England, there in Northampton, New England, as he preached the Word of God. Some held up the pillars of the church, lest they would fall into hell. The power of the preaching of the Word of God, and people were moved in a most powerful manner. Sinners were saved as the Word was preached. I remember as a young lad sitting in the Martyrs Memorial Church and Dr. Paisley preaching the Word of God. And people crying out. I remember on one occasion, as a young fellow, just a teenager, sitting there in the gallery, the place packed to capacity, a young fellow sitting beside me, Dr. Paisley preaching on hell. And it was as if we were at the very gates of hell itself. And that young man cried out, I want to get saved now. Dr. Paisley said, bring him out and lead him to Christ. And people were crying out, God visited His people in those days. Late 60s, early 70s, God came amongst us. May God come again. May God visit us again. People were moved. The power of the Spirit of God in revival. Verse 5, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. The prophet might have objected to being told to prophesy to bones, thinking, whatever I say to them will come to nothing. But the objection is answered here by the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into them, and they shall live. The Spirit of life will come. The Spirit of power will come. The Spirit shall come. God will breathe life into His church. This is what God has promised to do. And the Lord is God who changes not. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. You think, oh, we'll never see it again, brother. Friend, I believe God today. God can work. God is still the same. We We trust in the same God that they trusted in Lewis, and that we trusted in days gone by in our own land. God can do it again. Verse 6, the sinews, the flesh, the skin, the completion of the body, the breath would come into the body. You see, the breath comes into the church. The church is His body. And God will cause His breath to come into His body, the body of His church. And God's power will be manifested. And ye shall know, the Scripture says here, that I am the Lord. Without God's power demonstrated in this valley, these dry bones would have remained as they were. They would have remained lifeless and useless. And without God's power, the church today will remain lifeless and useless, like the valley of dry bones. But friend, we believe that God can raise it up. God can do again what He has done in the past, and even in a greater manner. And I want you to see, fourthly here, the change in these bones. Verses 7 to 10, there was a transformation here. Verses 7 and 8, there was a noise, not of thunder or of angels or of an earthquake, but of the bones themselves, which being many dry and stirring, could not but make a great noise. This noise was an evident demonstration of the divine presence and power put forth in this miraculous way. God moving. The Bible tells us in Acts 2, and verse 2, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven. On the day of Pentecost, there was a sound from heaven. Suddenly, God intervened in this valley of dry bones. Oh, for that noise today. Oh, for that sound from heaven amongst us today. Behold, the shaking, it tells us here. These bones were dead and dry. They now began to stir and shake. They moved from their places. This was the divine power. It couldn't be affected by man. It couldn't be wrought by anything that man could do. The Bible tells us, verse 7, the bones came together, bone to his bone. And you know, here's the sovereign work of God, my friend. These displaced bones, they came together. There was no confusion here. You know, for a revival is not confusion, friend. Bone came to his bone, the Bible says. As timber is in a house, so are bones in the body, the strength and support of it all. The Hebrew word for a bone here conveys the thought to corroborate and make solid. Bones are the strength and solidity of the body. There was absolute unity here and harmony. There was no division. Bone to his bone, the dispersed and displaced bones came together. Every bone of the same person to its right place. Every bone. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. When God came on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The sinews and the flesh and the skin came upon them, verse 8. Bodies, but still no life. There was no breath in them, verse 8. Verse 9, the wind, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Symbol of the Holy Spirit. The breath came and they lived. What a transformation from death to life. How does this life come? Through the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit of God. See, as Spurgeon said, decayed churches can most certainly be revived by the preaching of the Word, accompanied by the coming of the heavenly breath from the four winds. From time to time, the Lord has seen fit to send a new breath of life into His church and into His servants to give His blessing, as of a rushing mighty wind. And so we see the transformation. We see the triumph here too. They lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. The church that has been dead and dry can live. The Lord can replace death with life. The Lord can replace defeat with victory. When the Lord revives His church, He causes us to triumph in Christ. No longer are we a defeated army, but a triumphant army. How we need the Lord to come and cause us to triumph again. Cause the church to live in triumph and to know triumph. Revival causes the church to be triumphant. But see the task here as well. In the third place, as we finish this morning, an army. Here's an army. Living on its feet. An exceeding great army. An army marching. An army taking territory. An army conquering. May the Lord make the church a conquering army. You know, the secular society we live in, you read the newspapers, you go on to whatever means you listen to what's happening in the world today. They're making mockery of the church. Of course, they've always done that. And they're saying the church is on the back foot. And whatever fundamentalist evangelical body there is preaching the truth today, they're saying they're declining. That's what the world is telling us. But my friend, God is still building His church. God is still working. God is still moving. The blessing of God is still available to His church. May the Lord revive this church and revive all our churches and all the people of God across the world. The blessing of a God that began in revival in the parish church at Barvas, spread to neighboring parishes, to the parish of Ness. It soon became evident it was not to be confined to these parishes. From the north to the south to the east and west, people came in buses and vans and carriages and lorries and came on foot because God was moving. Didn't need to put it on Facebook to advertise it. God was moving. And when God moves, friend, people will soon know about it. And the newspapers will soon know about it. They may want to print it. But friend, God will move. I believe that God can still visit His church. That this church, again, the church of God, purchased by the blood of Christ, can be again an exceeding great army. Oh, may it be so. Oh, may it be so. May God visit His church with revival. Let us pray. Father, bless Thy word to every heart. Speak when the voice of man is silent. For any who are not saved, bring them to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to our closing hymn this morning. It is the hymn 633. It'll be on the screen or in your book there. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. We'll stand after we hear the introduction and worship the Lord in the singing of this great hymn.
Savior above, shall
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.